Okay, so gonna start. Today is Shabbos Daf Yud Zayin. Learn today's Daf Schus for Fu Shleima for Brachot Cyril Bas Rachel and all the Cholim. I should have a quick, speedy, and complete Refuah Shleima. So we are on the bottom of Tes Zayin and Beis by the two dots. We're back in discussing the eighteen takanos that were made. When the Talmidim of Beis Shammai were more numerous than Talmidim of Beis Hillel. So now we're up to, I forgot which number we're up to, but V'idach Mahi. What's the next one? So the next one is a Mishnah in Olos, in the 16th parak of Olos, the Tanan. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-metaltlin mevi'in es ha-tuma be'ovi ha-mardeya. All movable items can bring tuma if they have the thickness of a mardeya. So what does that mean? So it's talking about Tumas Oel. So when it comes to Tumas Oel, there's three ways that Tumah can be transmitted via Oel. A person can be mahil over the dead person. The piece of the dead person can be mahil over you. And then there's actual Tumas Oel, which is there is a tent. Inside the tent is the dead body, and something else is in the tent as well. So if the body is within the tent, it spreads the tumah out through everything, and whatever's inside becomes tamei. Okay, so let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kol metaltim mevi'in es ha-tumah mishum ohel she'im ihel rosho echad al hames." So if there's a tent, one side of it is over the dead body. V'rosho echad al ha-kelim, and on the other side is kelim. Mevi'in lehem tumas ohel mes li'tamei zayin yomim. So whoever's inside that tent is tamei mes for 7 days. Lios avatuma, to be an avatuma, kedin ol tame, like din ol tame. So the case over here is that what can create the ol? So if we're saying that we have a metaltlim, so my example is the ruler. So you have a metaltlim that's mahil over a mace. So the mace is over here, and something else is over here. It will bring the tuma to the item over here. But that is provided that the thickness of the metaltlin is as thick as a mardeya, which is some sort of rod used to, it's like some sort of stick or rod that's used to lead the sheep. And the thickness of that is usually one third of a tefach. So the halacha del raisa is really that in order for the metaltlin to be considered oel, it has to be thick, a tefach thick. The gezeirah d'rabbanan is going to be that it's one third of a tefach. That would be enough to create an ohel to transmit the tumor from one side to the other. That's going to be the right. It can have the din of an ohel, even though it's not a tefach wide, right? Usually you need the diameter to be a tefach. The rule is a very bad example because they're talking about a circular stick. That's what the Mishnah says. So it thinks to say that is the takana. Comes Rabbi Tarfon, and in typical Rabbi Tarfon fashion, who speaks in grand fashion, Omar, he says, "Akapeach es banai shezo halacha mikupechas." I should cut off my children should be cut off because this is a cut off halacha. Meaning this is wrong. You got it wrong. Rashi says, "Akapeach es banai mitzta'ir hayir ala Torah hamishtakechas umekalal es atzmo." He was so distraught that Torah was being forgotten that he cursed himself. Tosos on the bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis says it's just a lashon shvua. Like he quotes the Gemara, a pasuk in Brachos, Chai Paro in Teitzim Yizeh. It's just a language of a shvua. What Rabbi Tarfon is doing is he's swearing that halacha is incorrect. That you would still, if it's a third of a tefach thick, it would still not transmit tuma via ol. You still need the full tefach thickness. Why? He says, Sheshama HaShomeya, it must be that there was a Shaila asked in the Beis Medrash, an answer was given, and the person who heard it, Vita'a, and he made a mistake when he heard it. So what was the case in the Beis Medrash that Rabbi Tarfon says happened? He says, Ha'ikar, had a farmer, over, he was walking in his field, Umardeo Al-Ktefo, and he has this Mardeo on his rod, you know, it's on his shoulder. He's carrying it like this on his shoulder. So I'm giving the visual aids now. Right, Ha'ikar over Mardeo Al-Ktefo, V'il tzido echad al ha-kever. And one side of it, right, one side of it was mahil on the grave. So the question, and they said, they made this guy, they made the farmer tamei. So the people thought that the farmer became tamei because one side of it of the Mardeya is over the Ohel, and therefore he's over the Ohel, under the other side of the Mardeya, so he's Tamei Ohel. But really, Timu Oso Mishum Kelim Mahilim Alames. What Rabbi Tarfon says the real thing happened was, is that not that the man became Tamei Mase, as if he's in the Ohel, the man became Tamei as a Rishon Letuma. Because the Mardeya itself, so we just said that the Mardeya has to be a Tefach thick. In order for the Mardeya has to be a Tefach thick in order for it to constitute an Ohel. But in order for the Mardeya itself to become Tamei, it's Kolshu, anything amount. So it was over the Mase. So the Mardeya itself became over the Mase. So it becomes an Avatuma, because the Mase is a Viavosa Tuma. The Mardeya becomes an Avatuma. I'm carrying it, I become a Rishon Tuma. That's what happens, right? So Rashi says, right, if you look at Rashi on the first short line, the Kli itself that is over the Mase, it becomes Tamei no matter what size it is. The Lo Ba'inon Posea Tefach, we don't need this thickness of a Tefach, El L'Shavei Oel, only for it to become an Oel, so that everything underneath it would become Tamei as well. Right, Lahavi Tuma Tachas Rishon, right, Rosho, right, Hasheni Lahavi Tuma Lacherim. But for it itself, in any amount, if it's over a mace, it becomes tamei. Right? V'timeu le'ikar tumas erev. And what this thing did was metamei the farmer, not full tumah of 7 days, but as a rishon tumas erev, for the 1 day that he goes to mikveh at night. Mishum shenaga ba'oso kli shu avatuma, because he touched that kli that's an avatuma. V'zeh shenaga ba'rishon. V'hashomeya ta'a, and the one who heard the case, he made a mistake. Lomar, he thought she'aso le'ikar avatuma le'tamei zayim le'hatin azaya. He thought when they made this farmer tamei, they made him tamei midin ohel midirabanan, because it's not thick a tefach. But they thought he was tamei shtuma shiva, so they thought that was a takana. And Rabbi Tarfon says, no, that is not a takana. So the Gemara says, wait a second, okay. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva comes, and always is like this with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says something, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, I'll fix it up. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani asakein, right? Ani asakein, sheyu divrei chachamim kayamim. I'm going to explain what was going on here, so that you understand what the takana was. So he says, he's going to make it now three, break it down into three. Right, Rashi says, "Ani asakein shiu divrei chachamim." It's amazing. I say it all the time, but like you sit and you try to go through the art school, go through the Masifta, try to figure out what's going on, and then you just read Rashi, and it's just he's the best. Right, "Ani asakein shiu divrei chachamim." I'm going to fix chachamim. Right, chachamim said, "What sheomrim ovi hamardeya mevi tuma kayomim." They say that even if it's just thick as a mardeya, which is less than a tefach, which is technically they say it's 1/3 of a tefach, because we'll see in a moment, right? Because of Talmudic math, right? Omrim ovi amardeya maybe tuma kayomim yesh davar shemivin alav tuma mam. Read the Gemara. So he says, sorry, let's read the Gemara first. Ani at Rabbi Takein l'shidivri chachamim kayomim sheyu kol hamitalklim mevinas hatuma al ha'adam shenosa osam ba'ovi mardeya. They did make a takana, and the takana was that anything that is any metaltalim that is the thickness of a mardeya, which is at least which is 1/3 of a tefach, anything that's thicker of a mardeya, midirabanan will bring tuma across. Or we consider it an oel midirabanan. That's going to be if it's thickness of a mardeya. Al atzman, the metaltalim themselves, bekol shehu, they become tamei as no matter how thick they are or how thin they are. Again, the three different types. Yeah, go ahead, David. The people are going to be tamei mase as an av midirabanan. Well, so the kelim, which kelim? The kelim that are over the mase. Right. So that's the next step in the Gemara. Al atzman, the kelim itself that are over the mase, bekol shehein, they can become tamei tuma de oraisa for 7 days, because any small amount that goes over a mase becomes tamei. Again, we're talking about going over. That's one way, or also becoming an ohel. That's going to transmit the tumma, right? To project the tumma throughout what's underneath it, under the canopy. So al atzma mikol shehu, but al shar adam v'kelim. But other things that are under this mardeya, which is less than a tefach thick, b'poseach tefach, they're going to need a tefach. So the only time, let's just talk about the thing that's over. We're talking about making a canopy. So if somebody's touching this thing that's less than a tefach, they're going to become tamei tuma d'rabbanan, even if it's less than a tefach. right? So it's on my shoulder, and this is over here. So then this is going to, I'm touching it. That's going to be, I'm going to become tummy, even if it's the thickness is less than a tefach. But other things, but if it's just up here, and it's the mace is over here, and something is over here, and it's not touching the mardeya, in order for the mardeya to transmit the tumah as a canopy, it would needs to be a tefach. That's the three levels that Rabbi Kiva says. Level number one is the canopy itself, the mardeya itself, no matter what size it is, becomes tumah's mace if it's over a mace. If somebody's touching it or holding it when side of it is over a mace, it creates ohel midar abanan even if it's less than a tefach. And for other things, and to create tumah d'oraisa, it has to be a tefach, thick. So that's the takana. But what was the purpose of the takana? Okay, well, great, we have this takana. What's the purpose of the takana? V'amar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says, umardeya she'amru, the mardeyu that we're talking about, she'ain evyo tefyach, so its thickness, its diameter is not a tefach, but v'yish behekefo tefach, but its circumference is a tefach. See the 3-to-1 ratio, because in the Gemara it's 3-to-1, even though it's 3.14. But it's so he says she'ein ba'avyo tefach v'yesh behekefo tefach v'gazru, and what's the gzera? The gazru al hekefo, they made a gzera that about its circumference mishum avyo, because of the diameter, because of the thickness. People are going to get confused and going to say, oh, that if which has to be a tefach? Which Gemara says no, anything that's a tefach is going to be enough to transmit the tumah as an ohel. How are we doing? Mati's frozen. David's face is on here nice and big. What? No, yeah, just said you're big. No, everyone, every now and then it says, this person's bandwidth is low, this person's bandwidth is low, and then, Okay, no, but I'm not talking about me coming clear, I'm talking about the Gemara being clear. Okay. So that was the first one that we did today. So now the Gemara does ask, okay. So Rabbi Tarfon just says the Amar Akapeach es Bini Shehalacha Zom Kupeches Butchelhu. Rabbi Tarfon was pretty clear that this was not a takana. He said, my kid should be cut off if this is the case. He said that's not the takana. He says we don't make this takana of the tefach of the diameter up to the tefach of the circumference. We don't make that takana. So he would hold so long as the mardeya is not a tefach thick, it does not create tumas oel, and the person on the other side, remember that farmer, according to Rabbi Tarfon, wasn't tamei tumi meis. He was just a rishon because he touched an av. So he's missing now one of the takanas. We said there are 18. But if this is one of the 18, or Rabbi Tarfon doesn't hold of it, he has only 17. So the Rabbi Tarfon, the Amar Akapeches Benisha Alachazom Kupachas, Batshaluhu, he's missing one. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, no, he has the 18th is Al Benos Kusim Nidos Marisason Bo Bayom Gazru. That the takana that they made, that the daughters of the Kusim should be considered Tamei Nidos from birth, that's also that was made on that day, and therefore that's his 18. But the Gemara then says, wait a second, that was used for other people to make it their 18. So the Gemara says, no, v'idach svirulei k'Rav Meir. And he also holds like Rav Meir. Right? There was a machlokas, I think it was yesterday, right? The machlokas yesterday about if someone puts, someone catches the rainwater underneath the drain. And there was a machlokas there, whether that's considered mayim she'uvin or not. Because he's catching it under the drain, is that considered drawing water or not? So he's going to hold like Rabbi Meir there, who says where was the machlokas again? Rabbi Tarfon is going to hold like Rabbi Meir, who says that Beis Shammai won out, and the lachos Beis Shammai that the water there is considered shuvim and passes the mikvah. So he's going to hold that's 17 is the most kusim, and 18 would be like Rav Meir, that water that comes off the drain pipes is going to consider mayim she'uvim and pasul the mikvah. So just to get to his count of 18. So I hope everyone's keeping the list of what the 18 are. Okay, so Ritarfon's okay. He has 18 as well. Mati, still here? Okay, good enough, because you're frozen on my screen. Okay, the idach. So now, what is the next gzera of the Yudchas Davar? It's habotzer lagat. Shammai omer huchshar, Hillel omer lo huchshar. So there was a machlokas where they were placing the grapes in order to be pressed, right? And they would put the grapes together, and the grapes would sort of ooze liquid. So the liquid's coming out of the grapes. does the liquid that's oozing out of those grapes, does that now, because does that machshir, does that prime the grapes to be efshel kabel tumah? Again, in order for food items to become kabel tumah, they have to become wet with one of the seven liquids, yachach adam, and then they become primed to like the primer of the paint, they become primed to machshir tumah. So here what you have is you're putting it in this basket, and the it's oozing out. Now, technically, in order for the water or the liquid to be something that's priming for tumah, it has to be something that you want. Ki yutan. It has to be something that you want. Here, you don't really want it, the liquid there, because you're losing it, because it's flowing out. You don't want the liquid to flow. Right? Rashi says, is it Rashi in a second? No. Okay. So, what's going on here is it's coming out. So therefore, Bishamai says, nevertheless, they're going to say that the liquid that's coming out is sufficient to make the grapes huchshir l'kabel tumah, and Hillel says it's not, and Shammai won out that day. So Amar lo Hillel l'Shammai. So Hillel says to Shammai, I don't understand. Mipnei ma botzim b'tara. Why do you make it required that you have to use tahor kalim to put the grapes in? This one, because you don't want it to become tamei. Because again, if the grapes are huchshir l'kabel tumah according to Beis Shammai, that means if they're in a kli that's tamei, now they become tamei. So Hillel says, why are you forcing us to use tahor kalim when it comes to gathering the grapes, right? Mipnei ma motzim b'tahara, the ein moskim b'tahara. But you don't force us to do that when it comes to oil, when it comes to olives, right? The takana was only that the liquid of the grapes is huchshir l'kabel tumah. But he didn't make the takana when it came to olives. What's the difference between the grapes and the olives? So Beis Shammai says back to him, Amar lo, Beis Shammai says back to him, Im takniteni, if you're going to bother me anymore, goes rani tuma afala masika. I'll make that takana too. I'll nail you when it comes to the oil also. Leave it be. So they won, but Hillel didn't understand the svara because Hillel didn't understand the distinction between the grapes and the olives. Tosfos just, what? Like, so the Rishonim were trying to figure out what it means. So if you look at Tosos goes Rani, he says, there's a distinction between grapes and olives. Tosos says, goes Rani, it's the second and last Tosos, he says, Perish Harav Porat, Dilahachi lo Gazru al Masika. What's the reason why they didn't make a Gzeir when it came to the olives? The Gzeir Shema Yivatsren Bakufos Mizuzafos. Apparently, there's a difference of what oozes out of the grapes and what oozes out of the olives. What oozes out of the grapes is something that is drinkable. What oozes out of the olives is not considered something that's drinkable. So Beis Shammai said, you don't have to do that. Tosos, if you look, I don't know if you have it in yours, I'm like Gemara, there's on the side, it's a Tosos Yishanim. There's a Tosos Yishanim that said, I can't even see it, he says, Toso says that Hillel knew the distinction between the grapes and the olives. But what Hillel was saying to Shammai was, listen, you're making the takana by grapes, you're not making the takana by olives, people are going to get upset, people are going to get messed up. If you don't make the takana by olives as well, then people say, oh, it's not tummy when it comes to olives, therefore it's not going to be tummy when it comes to the grapes. That's what that was what Hillel was saying. So Shammai says back to him, wait a second, leave it alone. Because if you're going to push me on that, I'm going to have to make that takana on the olives as well, because you're right, but I'm trying to limit, and I'm only going to make the takana on the grapes. So I think with that, Tosfos Yishanim answers your question. Okay, so now we have that takana. So the Gemara says, we don't understand the reason. Yes, say again. Now I can hear you. Right? Right, okay, but they do it takana d'rabbanan, and as Beis Shammai said, I'm going to limit it at to a certain point. I can't go all, I don't want to do all the way because it might be too much. I don't know, there's a Masorah Shashas that quotes out of Tosos, I think it's Tosos Chagiga, where Rabbeinu Tam says, in the end of the day, Beis Shammai actually did add the Takana about the Olives as well. So it could be that, you know, it was a process. The Takanas, it took time. All right. Listen, man, people wanted to make small weddings. They made Takanas. It was a process over time. Eventually, when there's coronavirus, they made small weddings. All right. The Gemara then says, what happened? So this is when Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were having this argument about the grapes and the olives. So Na'atzu Chever Beis HaMedrash, they put down a sword in the Beis Medrash. For Amru, they said, HaNichnas Yikanes, whoever is in, V'hayotze Al Yetze, but no one can leave. And they made a Takana. Basically, they closed the doors and they said, that's the Takana, right? Beis Hillel, you're arguing about the oil. We're putting the sword down. We're drawing a line in the sand, and this is the takana. But also Hayom, and that day when Shammai overrode Beis Hillel, right, because we're talking about Shammai and Hillel here. But also Hayom, Hayehillel Kapuf beYoshei L'Shreip Nei Shammai Keechem Natalmidim. That day Hillel, who was the Nasi, right, and Shammai was the Av Beis Din, it flipped around, and that day Hillel was like the Talmid in front of Shammai, and the Gemara says Hayakashel Yisrael Kiyom Shenasa Bo HaEgel, and it was as difficult as the day that the Egel was made. Why? So, I don't know why it's difficult. So he brings down the notes here that there's a Yerushalmi that says it wasn't actually that they just had the sword, you know, stuck in the Beis Medrash. They were actually killing each other. He says that they were actually using the sword. It's bizarre. They were using the sword and they were killing each other. And Hillel has to say, okay, I'll be masking him enough just to stop the bloodbath. So that's why it's Kasha Aleim, like the Egel, because Hillel had to act like Aaron. Like Aaron, everything was going on crazy. In order to stop all that was going on, Aaron had to agree to do whatever he was doing. It's an interesting Yerushalmi. So that was the day that they made the Takana. The problem was, though, v'lo kiblu minayu. No one accepted that Takana at that time. V'aso talmidayu, but the Talmidim in the attic, gazru, they made the gzeira again, v'kiblu minayu. And they accepted the Takana. So again, this is the Takana that the liquids that ooze out of the grapes onto the other grapes are going to prime the other grapes to become tamei. Now the Gemara is going to ask, well, what's the reason? Making a takana, but there has to be a reason behind it. The Gemara gives, I think, four answers. One, two. You have four answers as to what the reason would be for this takana. So Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason? Amar Ziri, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Zera Shema Yivtzirenu Bekufos Timeos. The Gezer is because we're concerned that people might gather their grapes with tame baskets. So we had said that what makes the grapes prime to accept tuma is liquid. There is a shita that says that if you put items in a tame basket, the tame basket itself also primes the foodstuffs to become tame. Right? So Gemara says, Hanicha lamanda amar kli tame choshev mashkim. This works according to the person who says that a kli tame has the power to prime fruits. To items, food items, to become tame. So shapir. Then I understand the gzeira. We're concerned that people are going to see. People are going to. If we don't say that the water in tahar baskets primes the food, then they're going to say, oh, well, then if you're in the tame baskets, it also doesn't prime the food when it really does. But that only works according to Manda Amru, says that's the halacha. But El Lamanda Amr ain't Kli Tame Choshev Mashkin. But according to the Manda Amr, who says that a Kli Tame does not have the power to prime the items inside. So what's our concern? Mike Lamamer, what are we concerned? The concern was that if we don't say that in the Tahor basket they become primed, then people make the mistake and say that in the Tame basket they also don't become primed. But they don't become primed in the Tame basket. So there's no point in the Takana. Right? Right. So what's going to be the takana according to them? Rashi points out he doesn't know where this machlokus is. He says hanich lemandamar. This he goes Rashi like on the fifth or sixth bottom line hanich lemandamar. He says lo yadana hecha. That's just the modesty for the day. Rashi just admits he doesn't know. So the Gemara says okay, I have to give another reason for this takana. Ella amar ziri amir bechanina. Gzeira shema yiptzerenu bekufos mizufafos. The gzeira is lest one come and put the grapes, you know, and store the grapes in a basket that has pitch on them. The pitch on them would then keep the liquid inside. If you're keeping the liquid inside, that shows you want the liquid. If you want the liquid to ooze out, then it's chashuv, and then it can prime the food. So they made the gezeira in non-pitched baskets, up to pitched baskets. So you would say, just like in the pitched baskets, it's going to become tamei, so to the non-pitched baskets, it's going to become tamei. Right? Rava Amar, Rava gives a reason number three. Rava Amar gezeira mishum hanoshchos. We're talking about the noshchos. Noshchos, Rashi points out, the bottom roshos, it's eskolos hanoshchos zoazeh. The noshchos is like a lesson of biting, I think. The clusters, the grapes are so tight together. Ukeshebola hafrida nishkas hamashke, Rashi says. There's no way to separate the grapes without pulling one off of the other to cause the liquid to ooze out. V'kevin da'ava b'yadayim, below efshar, below schita, michasher. And since you're doing it by hand, if you're doing it by hand and there's no other option, that automatically tells you that the liquid that comes out is something that you want, because you want this to happen. You need it to happen. There's no other way. You have to separate the grapes. By separating the grapes, it's mimela, liquid's going to come out. So you want the liquid to come out. Therefore, that's going to create hukshul kaval tumah. So atu that, we want to make sure people recognize that that creates, primes the liquid primes the food for a tumah. So we're going to make a gzeira in our baskets that the liquid also that oozes out is going to prime the grapes to be hukshul kaval tumah. Right? That was reason number three. And reason number four is Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Baravua, Pa'amim, sometimes, Sh'adam holeich likarmo, a person goes into his field, Leida im higiwa anovin livitzira olo. He goes to check his vineyard, to go see whether the grapes are ripe or not. V'notel eshkol anovin lisochto. In order to do that, he pulls off a cluster of grapes, and he squeezes them to see what comes out, right, to check if they're right to make wine from it. U'mizaleif agabe anovim. And what you squeeze out then goes on to other liquids, right? So at that moment, there's no problem with the other liquids because it squeezes out onto other grapes. So at that moment, there's no problem with the other grapes because the other grapes are still connected to the ground. So they're not hukshul kaval tumah. But the problem is, ubishat spitzira, but then let's say a moment or two later, you do cut those grapes that the liquid poured onto, and adayin mashke tofeyach aleihem, and the liquid that you squeezed out is still on them. So those are hukshul kaval tumah because you wanted the liquid to come out in that instance because you were checking the ripeness. So that is something of chiyutan. That's something that you want the liquids to come out. That technically is liquid that can prime. The only reason why it didn't prime right away is because it fell onto things that were attached. But once you detach those things, they now have this liquid on them, and they're going to be hukshul kaval tumah. So we're concerned that people won't know that. So therefore, we're going to say, even when you put them in the baskets and they ooze out and they'll lose, and you don't want the water, it's the liquid, it's still going to be hukshul kaval tumah. Okay, that was gzera. Next, v'itach. What's another gzera? Amar, go to the next page. Amar of Tavi Rishpa. So Tavi Rishpa. You see what Rishpa is. Rashi says it's Poris Nishbin Litzud Chaibo. Tavi the hunter. He seemed to be a hunter or a trapper. Right? Amar Tavi Rishpa. Amar Shmuel. Af Kedule Truma Ketruma Bo Bayom Gazaru. The fact that the growth of Truma is considered Truma also made the Gzera. What does that mean, Gedule Truma? Usually if you have Truma, right? Rashi says, Gedule Truma Im Zara, Vafilish Zara Kala, Gontuva Kitnius. You take Truma, and then you replant it. The growth should not be truma, but to make it the kind of that the growth is going to have the din of truma. Why? Why they say that? So Amar Bichanina Gzeirishum Truma Tahora Biyad Yisrael. They were concerned of Truma Tahora Biyad Yisrael. What were they concerned about? You have a person who has truma and he separates the truma, and he doesn't want to give it to the Kohen. So what does he do? He just takes that truma and he replants it. So he replants it, and now would lose its status of truma when it grows, and he'll be able to reap the benefit of the growth. Because he'll just, so they made the gzera that the gedulim also, the growth also is truma, therefore there's no point or purpose for the Yisrael to do the subterfuge and to try to get rid of the truma that way. So Amar Rava, Rava says that can't be the reason. Why? Because ichashidi l'hachi, if we're so concerned that the Yisrael is not going to give the truma to the Kohen, he has an easy, halachically valid way to limit the giving the truma to the Kohen. What's that? Ichashid l'hachi, ifrushi nami lifrushu. He doesn't have to be mafresh anything, because kevin de'efshel, we'll skip to Ella, he says, kevin de'efshel meve chita acha kishmuel, v'lo ka'avid. So what the halacha del reisa when it comes to truma, there's no shir. Chita achas poteres esakri. One small kernel is enough. So if this guy is really stingy and he doesn't want to give truma to the kohen, he doesn't have to go through this whole thing of taking the truma and replanting it. Just take off one kernel, give it to the kohen, he's done with it. And it's all his. But the fact that he doesn't do that, the fact that the person doesn't do that, right, hamuni mehamne, we trust this guy. We trust them that they're not going to do this trickery. So that can't be the reason why we made the gzeira. So Ella, what was the reason why we made the gzeira that the gedule truma, that the gross of the truma are equivalent to truma? Ella, gzeira, the gzeira is mishum truma temeya biyakoin. Right, there's concern about the truma temeya biyakoin. So when it comes to truma, I have to give to the kohen, whether the truma is tahor or tame, I have to give it to the kohen. If the truma is tahor, the kohen can eat it. If the truma is tame, the kohen can't eat it. He can burn it and then get some benefit from it, but it's valueless. It's worth nothing. So with the truma tameya, the kohen can't do anything with it. So we're concerned that the kohen has truma tameya, the kohen will then replant it. And when he replants it, now he'll have you know, good food, right? Dilma mashe legabe. And what would happen was, is we're concerned that maybe the kohen will keep the truma by him until the planting season in order to plant it. And the asidei takala. And what might happen is during the time, let's say he gets it in month A, but they're not supposed to plant it for another 3 months. So during those three month period, there's a concern that something might happen. Somebody might eat it. So we don't want that to happen. The only reason why he's saving it so he can plant it in a few months. So we say, you know what? If you plant it in a few months, it won't make a difference. That's not going. So the kohen will then be careful with the truma tameya, and he'll just burn it right away and use it and get benefit that way. We're concerned about that, right? Rashi says, "Mishum truma tameya biyakoin." It's like the second short line. Asura b'achila. It's asur b'achila. Ubal is roa, and he wants to plant it. The gazer shetehe b'shma harishon, right? And what goes there should keep its initial status. V'arehi truma tameya dechashin and dilman mashe le'adzman zriya v'as le'mecha b'tumasa. We're concerned that he might eat it with his tuma. So that's another takana. Takana being that the gedule truma can maintain the status of truma to prevent the kohen from holding on to the truma for an extended period of time. Okay, the idach. And what's the next gzeira? If this happens, just to point out, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. It depends on the type of truma. As Rashi pointed out, it's talking about truma that if it's a type of item that the seed doesn't disintegrate, then no. But if it's like wheat that the seed disintegrates and then you replant the fruit, yeah, then it would. The rice, it would. Okay, so we just said that we explained that the takana was. Well, let's leave that way. That's Rashi. Tosos says it a different way, a little nuanced. Tosos says that he comes to the kala. Tosos is a Dilma, right? He says perish b'kuntrus l'kach gazu dafili zarena habe tuma. Tosos says that what Rashi's gzera was is that when you replant it, it maintains the status of tuma truma tameya. Tosos doesn't say. He says no. When you replant it, it'll get the status of truma tahora, but you're not going to benefit as much. You're still not going to be able to. You're still not going to be able to sell it. You have a small market for it. Okay. The idach. What's the next gzeira? Amar b'chia bar ami mishmei deula. They say af misha hichshich lo b'derech. Someone's on his walking Friday afternoon and he didn't realize, and now it becomes sunsets. All right, it becomes Shabbos, and he has a wallet full of money on him. So nosin kisul nachri bobiyom gazu. The fact that he has to give it to the nachri is the takana. Meaning, why? What could he have done? Midoraisa, you're neshus rabim. You're only chayiv if you're mavir four amos neshus rabim. So the person could have done is he could have walked three amos, stop. So midakana, you're not allowed to do that. You have to give it to a guy, somebody else. Rashi says nosin kisul nachri v'lo yital telenu pachos midal amos. You can't do this, you know. Stopping, walk, stop. Okay, that's the next gzera. The idach. What's the next one? Amar Bali, Amar Avime Sinvsa'a, must be the place where he's from. They made the gzera of Piton, Pasakum, Vishamnan, Shemenakum, Vienam, and Yainakum, Vibinoseyam, and that you can't have yichud with their daughters. Kulan Mishmona Asadavar, Hain. Those are included. I think it's one gzera, it seems to be ended up. That's also included. In the Rashi says, "Kulan v'yurches dvarinim, v'kulu chad gzera chadahi." The gazra al pita mishum shimna mishum. They made one gzera after the other gzera, but there's all one gzera. These four things. So Gemara says, okay, wait a second. So now we have 18. So Gemara says, Hanich le Rabbi Meir. That works out all according to Rav Meir. Again, Rav Meir was a case of where you put the pot underneath the pipe and collected the water, and Rav Meir said that's considered Mayim Shuvim. But El Rav Yosei, who doesn't count that as a gzera, right? Shivsei Havyan. He only has 17. So Gemara says, no, Ika Ha. He has the following one. It's going to be a long till we get to it, but there's another takana possibly in this, comes out of this discussion. How's that work? Okay, the Rav Acha Bar Ada. Ika hadar of Achav Rada. He has the takan of Achav Rada. The Amar of Achav Rada, Amar of Yitzhak, al pita mishun shimnan. They made the gzera of the bread because we were concerned that they would eat because of their oil. But al shimnan mishum yenan. We made the gzera of the oil because we're concerned about the wine. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Gemara just interjects. Al pita mishum shimnan, my uluma the shemen pas. Why were you? It seems like stage one was the shemen, and we did the pas to protect the shemen. Why is the shemen something that needs to be protected more than the pas itself? So Gemara says, Ella, what was the gzera? The gzera was al piton v'al shimnon mishum yenan. We made the gzera that you can't have pas akum, and you can't have oil of the akum, lest you come and drink their wine. We're more concerned about the wine. Mishum b'noseyan. Because here the Gemara says, the concern is that if you drink with them, you know, you don't want to mix, or you don't want to have a drinking party with them. Real b'noseyan, and they made the gezerah that you can't be with their daughters, that you shouldn't have yichud with their daughters, mishum davar acher, because we're concerned that the daughters will draw you to avodah zarah. And the davar acher, mishum davar acher. And this avodah zarah was for another thing. So this last thing, this davar acher, is going to be the 18th, potential 18th gezerah. My davar acher, what's this 18th, this last davar acher? Amar of Nachmar Yitzhak, Gazra al Tinuk Nachri. They made a gezerah that offspring, a young baby of a guy, Shemitame B'ziva, has the status of a Zav, which is an Avatuma, right? Even if he's not Zav, right? Shelo Yehei Tinok Yisrael Rogel Etzlo Mishkov Zachar. Because we don't want to have, you know, mix the non-Jews and the Jews in the same preschool, lest that might come to Mishkov Zachar. Somehow, don't know, but lest that come to Mishkov Zachar, that would be the 18th. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's a takana, Ihachi, le Rav Meir nami tasrei havin. Well, if that's a takana, so, okay, that makes 18 for Rav Yossi, but that makes 19 for Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, no, go back to one of the gezeiros that we had before, which was Ochlin v'kelim shenitmu b'mashkin b'chada chashev lehu. We had takanas before that food or kelim that became tamei with mashkim, but they get the status of a sheni to create a shlishi by truma. So we listed them as two separate, one for food, one for kelim. Rav Meir has them together as one. He pushes them together, and that makes 18. Okay, ad kan the yudchas takanos. Everyone can make, you know, people have all over the list to figure out which one is 18, which was that. Okay, so we have the 18, and now we go back. We'll do the mission, I guess, for back into the realm of Shabbos. So now we're talking about, the Mishnah is going to list a bunch of malachos that you start Friday. Can you start the process on Friday? Can the process continue during Shabbos? The machlokas basically in the Mishnah is whether or not there's a concept of shvisas kelim, whether my kelim also have to be at rest on Shabbos, my utensils. I set the process in motion. Can the process continue during Shabbos? Beis Shammai is going to say no, and Beis Hillel is going to say yes. So Beis Shammai omrim, Beis Shammai say, Ein shorin diyo. You can't soak. You want to make the ink, so you can't soak the ink erev Shabbos into all of the ingredients. V'chein samanim and evis samanim, and also these are, I guess, other colors with samanim and karshinin, which I think is vetch. Is that how he translates it? The vetch, which is the food for the. Crazy. You go over through Shas, you get the art school words stuck in your head. Right? So vetch, you can't, it's which is a type of kidneyus that was given for the Michael Behema that had to be soaked in water. Ella kidei sheyishoru mibo'od yom. As you only can start the process on Friday if there's theoretically enough time to finish it on Friday. Ubeis hilo matirin and beis hilo matir. Right? Beis hilo says it's mutter. And then they give other examples. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, Ein nosnin unin shel pishtan l'socha tanor. You can't put these bundles of flax in the oven in order, I guess, to whiten them. That would be the reason why. You have to bleach them. You can't put them in the oven. Ella Kadesh Yahabilu Mibojom, as long as unless you have enough time during the day that they'll get hot enough to do it. Right? Velo Esat Semer Liora, you can't put the wool in the big vat to get to color it, I guess to get it white. Ella Kadesha Yikol to Ayin, unless they can do it with the complete the process, Mibojom Basil Matim. He'll say, okay, as long as you set the process before Shabbos, you're okay. Beishame Omim. I guess I'm not sure, but I'm hoping the Gemara is going to discuss all of these, because otherwise we're giving short shrift to everything. Right? Veshamei omrim, veshamei say, ein person mitzudos chayes va'opos v'dagim. You can't set the traps on for food for animals. Ela kadesha yitzidim yon, unless there's a possibility that it will trap that day. Or beisil matir mitzil says no problem. You can set the traps. Veshamei omrim ein mochrim lenachri. You can't sell an item to a non-Jew, the chain ain't towing him, and you can't, you know, help him with his packages on his donkey. They magbin alav, and you can't lift something on the shoulder of the nachri. Ella kadesh gila makom karov, unless the nachri can get to his destination before Shabbos is over. The concern is that people are going to think that you're working for the nachri, or the nachri is working for you, and that if you're putting the stuff on the nachri and he's walking away, he's doing the business for you. But Beisil Matir, Beisil says, okay, it's not a problem. Beishami Omri and Beishami say, Ein nosnim oros la'abdon. You can't give the hides to be tanned. The lokalim lekoveis. You can't give the clothing to the laundromat. I guess nachri ela kadesha yasu l'yom, unless they have enough time to complete the process before Shabbos starts. Uvekulon beis hillel matirim im hashemesh. Beis hillel allows you to do all of this if you give it to do anything before the sun sets. You can send it. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says noagim hayu beis abosh yunostim kli lov and lekoveis nachri shloshi yom kodem Shabbos. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that he used to give their white clothing to the laundromat. I guess it was much harder to give their white, which I guess is they say it's big day pishnan, which is the Rashi says hukasha lichabes v'tzorach gimel yomim. It was very difficult to wash. It took 3 days to wash. They would make sure to give it on 3 days in advance, like Beis Shammai, because they wanted to make sure that it was complete before Shabbos started. Okay, b'shavim elu ve'elu, but both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree she to'anim koras Beis Chabad ve'igulei hagat. They both agree somehow that I'm not sure why. They both agree that you can set in motion the milling or the pressing of the, it's not the milling, the pressing of the olive press and of the wine press even before Shabbos. Rashi says she to'anim esazesim b'koras Beis Chabad ve'shanavim b'ulegat shelo yu otsim osam b'galgal. They wouldn't use like this wheel like we do. Elatoin also bekoros. They put these big beams on top. The honey de gas kariigula. And why would you do? And he says, v'shavim shetoin also beodyom. You can put it on erev Shabbos. V'hamashka holich v'zav kol Shabbos. And the liquid will come out to whole Shabbos. And I guess he says the Gemara on daf yutes parich ma'ishna de lo pli beishami v'ha. What's the reason why Beis Shammai doesn't argue here? Beis Shammai is going to say, because even if you did this on Shabbos, it wouldn't be a malacha d'oraisa. When do we say that squeezing out olives and grapes is an av malacha? If they haven't been squeezed to begin with. I guess in the press, they were ready squeezed grapes, and then you put underneath the press to get more out of it. So Beis Shammai says that that's not the Malacha d'oraisa. The Malacha d'oraisa of Dash, of Schita, is the initial squeezing out. And therefore, since this wouldn't even be a Malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, you don't have the Gzeira that you can't set the process in motion for Erev Shabbos. Okay, so we'll stop here by the Gemara, and we'll pick up tomorrow. All right. I hope work.